Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Samuel. We are commencing a study in the Gospel. And we will begin our study in the book of 2 Samuel. And this afternoon I want to present a message entitled The Gospel, the News That's Good. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the Gospel. And he was talking about the news that's good. So, my dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, today let's consider the Gospel. Father, help us as we begin today. I ask that you will sharpen us, that you'll encourage us, that you'll help us to better understand you and what you've said. We pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Recently, local historical society had a presentation on the Underground Railroad. And in the course of the lecture there, the presenter mentioned something that I had heard someone else say before. And he mentioned the fact that he chooses not to read fiction, because he doesn't want to confuse his research of historical events. And I'd heard that before from my church history professor, Dr. David Beale. He said the same thing. He told us that his wife reads fiction, but he does not. And what that allows him to have is a sharp understanding of history. He's able to distinguish between what's historical fact and fictitious stories or statements. And one occasion that came up was we were going through our church history textbook, and he pointed out a footnote in the book that was about the Saint Augustine. And he looked at it and he said, that footnote is incorrect, because the author asserted that Augustine said something. And he went on to say, that footnote's incorrect because I've read everything that Augustine wrote, and he never said that. And he kind of got the sense of, wow, this person, he's really studied, and he can distinguish between what's the truth and what's made up, or some kind of implication of something. Now, why do I talk about that whole idea of being able to distinguish between something that's a fact and something that's fiction? Well, I think it's particularly important because we live in a society that really floods us with information. And if you go to a Christian bookstore or if you read Christian magazines, you've probably seen in the last decade or so that many, many books and articles are published with the phrase gospel-centered or Christ-centered. And what happens now in publishing, you don't simply have a book on parenting. You have a Christ-centered book on parenting. You don't simply have a book on marriage. You have a gospel-centered approach to marriage. You don't simply have a book on dieting. You have a gospel-centered approach to dieting. And you say, why is everyone doing that? Why is everyone putting the word gospel in their book titles? Well, the short answer probably is because it sells. You sell more books. Even as you go online and you look at sermons, the sermons that have the word gospel in the title get more clicks. You say, what does that matter? Well, I'm afraid if we label everything with the gospel, we lose our precision and our perception of what the gospel actually is. You see, when God describes the gospel in the Bible, it's something specific. It has its own box, if you want to think of it mentally. It has its limits. Some things are the gospel, some things aren't. You say, why do we need precision with the gospel? Well, the gospel plays the most significant role between the perfect God and sinful man. Without the gospel, man can't have fellowship with God in this life or the next. So it's of utmost importance. Now, some people may not know the gospel because they've never been taught the gospel, or they didn't listen when they were taught. But other people might have been getting lost in the flood of gospel this and gospel that materials that are being written. Either way, I would say it's essential that Christians know the gospel backwards and forwards. We ought to be familiar with this. Now, at the forefront of our study on the gospel, I'm going to admit that the gospel is something that is quite broad by way of implication, but the essence of the gospel is simple. It's plain and simple. It's something that sparkles, but it's plain and simple. Even a child can understand it. So what I'm hoping to do in the next weeks is to study the gospel in bite-sized pieces. And to do that, we're going to begin with the first reference to the gospel, which is in the Old Testament. And we're in 2 Samuel 4, verse 10. 2 Samuel 4, 10. The Bible says this: "When one told me," that someone told David, "behold, Saul is dead, and thought he was bringing good news, I seized him and killed him at Ziklag, which was the reward I gave him for his news." And that last word of the verse is the word for gospel. It's the New Testament word in Greek. In the Old Testament translation of this passage, the same word for gospel. Now, you read a passage like this, and this is a really strange passage to begin a study on the gospel. But I really do think it helps us locate the essence of the concept of the gospel. The gospel is news. It's news. It is not a specific person. In other words, you're not going to walk up to someone, to the gospel, and meet him as you'd walk up to the president and meet him. You're not going to visit the gospel as if it's a place, like we'd go to the grocery store and go to that place. You're not going to throw the gospel up in the air and hit it with a baseball bat, as if it's some kind of tangible object or thing. And you can't conceptualize the gospel as if it's an abstract idea, like respect or happiness. The gospel isn't a person, place, thing, or idea. Grammatically, we'd say the gospel refers to an event, something that happened. The gospel is an event, something that happened. So the gospel concerns something that happened, and that's what we see in 2 Samuel 4:10. A man brought David information about something that happened. The man brought David a gospel. It was news about a real occurrence. The occurrence was that King Saul, the Lord's anointed, had been slain. He died in battle with the Philistines. You see, when the Philistines found Saul and his son slain, they published that gospel, that news of what had happened throughout the land. So if you go back to 1 Samuel 31, 8 and 9, it says this: "The next day, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, they found Saul and his three sons fallen on Mount Gilboa. So they sent messengers through the land of the Philistines to carry the good news," there's the verb form of gospel, "to carry the good news to the house of their idols and to the people." That also comes up in 1 Chronicles 10:9, the same verbiage. So what this is saying is it's showing us that the gospel refers to something that happened, an occurrence. Yet we can't think of the word as something so general that it's just a synonym for information or news. It's a certain sort of information or news. The gospel is concerning something good that has happened. It's a positive assessment of information. Yet there's an irony in 2 Samuel 4:10, because the news that's being discussed is the death of Saul. And the irony is that some people thought that was good, and some people didn't think that was good. The person who comes to David in 2 Samuel 4 thought David would be delighted by the news that King Saul had been slain, because King Saul had sought to kill David for almost about a decade. And now King Saul is dead. That's got to be great news for the king, he thought. But David didn't think that was good news. It was sad news, because the Lord's anointed had been slain. The king of Israel had been defeated by the enemy. That's good news for the Philistines, but that's not good news for the Israelites. And the same is true later in David's life when his son Absalom, you remember, maneuvered to take the crown from his father. So David had to flee, and then Absalom pursued David and company. And that's where Absalom got all tangled up with his hair, and then he was pierced to the heart, 2 Samuel 18. And when he is killed, this is what it says afterward, that a man said, "Let me run and carry news to the king that the Lord has delivered him from the hand of his enemies." Let me carry news. That's the word for gospel. Let me bring the gospel to David. So what happens afterward is there's a race between this man and a Cushite to get this good news to David the king. And Cushite won out, as we read in 2 Samuel 18:31. The Cushite came, and the Cushite said, "Good news for my lord and king, for the Lord has delivered you this day from the hand of all those who rose up against you." So here again, David didn't hear the news as he's being delivered from his enemies. David heard the news as the death of his son. That's why the next verse, at the end of the chapter, says in verse 33, the king was deeply moved and went to his chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, he said, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would I had died instead of you. Oh, Absalom, my son." So why are we bringing all these strange Old Testament passages up? The great importance of studying these passages is realizing that news can be good or bad, depending on your perspective. And this is true across the board in life. To some people, the cup is half full. To other people, the glass is half empty. To some people, the most recent Michigan-Ohio State football game was a victory. To others, it was defeat. To a toddler, food all over the floor is fun. To mom and dad, it's a disaster. Even today with the impeachment hearing, some people are on social media putting likes and likes and hearts, and other people are putting mad faces. The same event, same occurrence, different responses. You see, news can be relative, but the Christian gospel presented to us in the Bible, God authoritatively labels it good. You see, there's a right perspective on this news. It is good news. Other news can be relative. When the battle is over, someone has won and someone has been defeated. Good and bad news. For one person, when a baby is born, there's great joy. But another person, when a baby is born, there's great sadness because he doesn't know how he's going to feed another mouth. And there's many general examples of things that happen, whether it's battle or babies being born or people being delivered, where depending on what side of the matter you're on, it's good or it's bad. But when it comes to the Christian gospel, it's truly good news. Why is it so important to realize that? Don't we all believe that anyway? Well, we're going to get to why that's so important later on in our study, but let me give you the answer for now without any biblical support at the moment. The point is this: the Christian gospel is good news for those who understand that they have fallen short of the glory of God and are therefore justly under the wrath of God. Perhaps you've already heard that said, the bad news has to come before the good news, because the good news without the bad news isn't good news. You have to have that. And that's where we get the perspective. So we now know the gospel concerns something good that happened. That's what we know. And we need then to realize and perceive that the gospel is something good for us. It's beneficial for us. If we don't have that perspective, we don't understand the gospel. We don't have a right understanding of reality and of the gospel. And that's how our study is to begin. The gospel, it's the news that's good. Father, help us as we continue our study of the gospel in weeks to come. Help us to try to do our best to wrap our minds around what you've said in your word about the good news of Jesus Christ, and help us to be rightly related to it. In Jesus' name, amen.